everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about human resources with all the folks making it happen out there. So, William, big basketball weekend. Even those who aren't a fan, there's some good stories coming down. You've been watching?
I have, man. I consumed a lot of basketball this weekend. And, you know, I just like good storylines. I mean, the guys that are coming out of the Florida Gulf Coast, I didn't even know that was a school. So, you know, that shows you how ignorant I am. But just the fact that, you know, a 15 seed made it to the Sweet 16, you know, I just like good storylines. I don't have really a – it's not like in football where I have a team that I obviously I root for. This one is – I got Louisville winning, but, you know, I don't have any attachment to Louisville. I mean, you know, if they win, they win. If they don't, you know, I'll still sleep the next day or whatever. So, but it's been really compelling. I like the storylines. How about
Florida Gulf Coast is Cat Carlos – our friend's alma mater. So, dude, I'm like all in for the underdog, just having fun, kicking ass, and taking names. And the next chapter of that story goes down in Arlington, my friend.
That is correct.
So, wow.
Jerry's World. Yeah, Jerry's World. 100,000 people will be able to cram into that stadium. What's interesting is they're doing the regional here this year because next year the Final Four is actually here. At Jerry's World. So, you know, they'll probably be able to cram 115,000 people into the stadium by then for a Final Four.
Well, it's been, you know, I'm not like a super huge basketball fan. But this has been fun so far. So, it'll be fun to see how it unfolds, and even more fun, let's get to our guest, because I think he's got some stuff that is going to rock the house. So, Kerry Schuler, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Well, hello, guys. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you guys. I must admit, I'm a little bit like a fish out of water when you guys are talking basketball, because up here in the heartland of Western Canada, where I'm dialing in from, it's all about hockey. So I'm not sure I followed all that, but it sounds like you guys had a good weekend. So,
well, and I'm on the flip side, if you were talking hockey, I would hang on for dear life, because I know literally what you just said about hockey is what I now know. So thank you for that, by the way. So, well, if you would just introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and then we'll get into kind of what keeps you up at night.
Sure, sounds good. Outside of talking about hockey and the weather up here, I'd love to talk and chat about HR technology. I've been in the HR field for a long time now. I guess it's over 20 years now. And following a career in HR management in the healthcare sector, I must admit my entrepreneurial tendencies got the best of me, and I can squarely blame my dad for that. He was the owner of a general contracting company, so I kind of saw firsthand the work that went into building a company. So I decided to just do that. I left the healthcare sector to pursue first an MBA in IT management and entrepreneurship, and I was one of those eager MBA student types, and I wrote a business plan that I thought would be indicative of building C-Factor, the company that I co-founded. And I can safely say the company looks nothing like what I dreamt it to be in that business plan, but we've had a lot of fun. As I mentioned, I'm a co-founder of C-Factor, and I started that business with my three brothers over, I guess, 13 years ago now. And that's true. It is three brothers, and I always get that reaction when I say it's my two brothers and I, but it's been a lot of fun founding the company and building an HR technology company from those early days when we were true bootstrappers. We each put $100 on the table, as they say, and got busy creating the company. Since those
nice.
Kind of beginnings, we've been able to build an HR technology company that's currently servicing customers across North America.
Nice. Well, take us in, if you don't mind, we're going to get into what's keeping you up at night and what's keeping your clients up at night. But if you don't mind, give us a synopsis. What is C-Factor? What would you say you do?
Sure. Happy to do that. So what we do at C-Factor, we develop and deploy what we call a socially enabled integrated HR management, communication, and business collaboration suite. So really what that is, it's tying together all those latest emerging internet technologies – to deliver this really easy-to-use, web-friendly core HR system that we've targeted the mid to large enterprise sector here, primarily in North America, although we do have some global deployments.
Nice. Okay, so when you say integrate, you're actually, you can pull other people's technologies together, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, William. So one of the things I think that really differentiates C-Factor in our approach is, we're not this rip and replace kind of strategy. We'll go in and we'll actually, with our core system, we'll augment the existing infrastructure and environment in place in an organization to put in place this web-friendly, employee-focused application that fosters connections, collaboration, corporate communications, and all the process automation and analytics that go with HR service delivery.
Nice, nice. Well, let's do the what's keeping you up at night and then what's keeping your customers up at night. So from running the business, acquiring talent, kind of running, doing all the things that you do, what's top of mind for you these days?
Oh, great question. So we're up here in Western Canada, and really one of the blessings of being up here is we got some access to some fantastic talent. So we're able to secure leading developers out of the universities here in town, as well as kind of really have this as our core headquarter from a development R&D perspective. And really what we're busy doing and what keeps us up at night is getting the word out, because we think we have a really novel approach to HR technology and how you could actually leverage these types of systems to drive a lot of real meat and potato kind of ROI for our customers. And it's really all about getting the word out, letting folks like yourselves know and your audience know what we're doing, talking with those influential people in the space to let them know that there's another alternative out there for them.
Yeah, and let me just, for the audience so that you understand, Carry System, what it does is it takes the systems that you already use and kind of connects them in a more robust way. A lot of systems, what they'll do is they'll make you replace. If you have performance management over here and payroll over here and compensation over here, succession over here, some of those systems, as we all well know, don't work together. And so they'll have you replace those systems with others that can, quote-unquote, talk to each other. And Carry's kind of the glue that kind of brings some of those things together. Just so the audience kind of understands the difference between what you do and what some other folks do. Let me ask you, when you interact with customers, Carry, what do you think's top of, in 2013, what's top of mind for them when you interact with them? What's kind of going on in their world?
Sure. So in my day job, I routinely chat with folks that are HR executive, HRIS, the corporate communications type of people. And what I hear often is a common theme. They're being asked to be more strategic. So, try to do, things to better engage their workforce, improve, say, employee collaboration, or better identify their talent and make sure there's development plans, the succession plans, all those good things. But at the same time, they're being asked to do all that, they're being asked to do it more efficiently. So How can we be strategic and at the same time deliver HR services, processes, and initiatives more efficiently and cost effectively? And as we all know, those things are sometimes mutually exclusive. So and it's compounded by the fact that current HR technology environments, kind of what you're alluding to, William, is they're often fragmented, they're overly complex, and they're really built more as systems of record and not necessarily systems that were meant to be used by kind of rank and file employees. So there's a lot of training typically involved and not very flexible to try to tackle some of these strategic initiatives that our customers are looking to do. So that's where we come in, and we really look at being that glue, like you said, to put in place a way to leverage and extend that environment with some real cool innovative HR technology on the front end, so people can collaborate with their peers, find somebody that's an expert in a certain topic, or they're in the middle of a compensation review process, and they can ask an expert real time from their comp department a question as they're making their merit recommendations. So we're really kind of looking at leveraging what's in place and leaving that alone. If it's working well, it's doing a good job of your gross to net payroll, leave that payroll system in place, but then augment it with this innovative HR technology environment that all your employees can use.
Nice. I want to ask about big data, because you run a technology company, and if you're a technology vendor in 2013, you obviously have to be talking about big data. From your perspective, are we in the hype phase of big data? Are your clients really kind of clamoring around big data? Are they asking you questions around big data?
Sure. Well, obviously, big data, huge term. Everybody's talking about it. And the ironic thing is we're inundated with more information than ever before. And what we really find with our customers is they're really trying to look at how do they better leverage the kinds of information that typically is available to them, enhance that so they get a better perspective of who their talent actually is. So it's not so much just the typical kind of demographic information, but how do you actually find out what your talent, what their unique skills are, what are people interested in, what are their career aspirations, what special skills or career or relocation kind of initiatives are they interested in, what kind of projects. That's really where we come in to look at how do you pull together things like your traditional system data and really map in things like LinkedIn profiles and automatically pull them into the system, or let people create their own profile to explain more about themselves and track all their contributions in a system, so you start to get to understand what are the unique projects that the different people have worked on, and what are their peers endorsing different people in your organization for, special kind of things they've done, special kind of skills they have. And then being able to get at that data to really mine it and proactively tap people on the shoulder, so to speak, for internal opportunities, new product launches, innovation communities, all that good stuff that technology can now make available to your organization.
Nice. A question from the Twitter sphere is around technologies and why they don't talk together. What's your take after looking at this for 20 years? Why doesn't, and I'm just going to throw out brand names, but basically why doesn't Saba talk to ADP that talks to, Taleo that talks to whatever? Why don't these technologies do a better job of talking with one another or interacting with one another?
Yeah, great question. See, from my perspective, a lot of it boils down to, what were those specific systems designed to do? And a lot of the time, the perspective that was put on it was very, narrow, and it was about back office kind of people. It was about payroll or HR or HRS kind of people using those systems. And I think they weren't really conducive to, or it wasn't really designed to be something that was deployed widely to an organization. And this kind of consumerization idea wasn't really in the forefront, and it was really about system of record and back office kinds of things that were the genesis of a lot of these systems. And really what we're seeing now is a real push to, if you want to get the value out of these systems, we hear this all the time, is somebody will deploy a fantastic talent management solution, but it doesn't get the use that they thought it would. It doesn't get the adoption. And the reason being, it's not core to the day-to-day work that employees are doing. And when you start making these tools available, just like people use in their personal lives, and make them available in their day-to-day work as something that helps them find somebody that can answer a question, helps them get their work done more efficiently, gives them the data they need at the process level, so as they're doing something, the data is right there. They don't need to remember to log into another site or get another URL or a different set of credentials to try to log into a system and use it. So I think a lot of that was the barrier why these systems, they were just put in place with a different perspective. And now as we're looking to get, systems of engagement or high usage or adoption, these old system of records are kind of giving way to that.
Well, that's and this is Brian, by the way. So great explanation. So where does mobile be disruptive in that whole process?
Great question, yeah. So mobile is kind of the perspective that I have, and and we're seeing it. It's not a future thing. It's happening, today, is that people really want to be able to use whatever device they have. It's that any device, anywhere kind of concept, where if these systems are really meant to be productivity aids, better connect people, better help you find somebody else in this large company that can answer your question, really you want that at the point in time that you have that question. So the whole idea of making it easy to consume information, data, metrics, create processes, apply for jobs, all that good stuff, make it really easy and device independent is where I think where we see a lot of the real trend coming.
Sure. Well, and that's, obviously, so when you have, how do you have that executive level conversation? I know you obviously, some of the folks you deal with client-wise, where do you kind of start or help or make people feel more comfortable with the world is becoming much more portable and mobile? How do you help people understand that?
Yeah. So oftentimes where we get involved is in that highly strategic perspective. You know, talent obviously is a major driver of productivity and in a lot of cases the major spend in a company. And where we come in is to really talk about how do you better, you know, knit your workforce together? How do you better engage them? And that oftentimes is an executive suite kind of conversation where the senior leader have initiatives they want to push out to their whole company, and previously they didn't have a platform to do that. They want to actually have a, engage in a dialogue, so it's not just about putting out the corporate plan. It's about having employees being able to weigh in on that in the system from different devices to get to be part of that corporate direction kind of conversation. And that's where we often see, you know, we'll be involved at the executive level perspective to put in place a system that will broadcast out their message, but also allow rank-and-file employees to weigh in, contribute, understand what's happening in the company, and, you know, launch their ideas. And when you start putting these kinds of tools in place, at the same time, you know, it's the same system people go to see their pay statement, their schedule, all those kind of nuts and bolts kinds of things, we really start to see a system that takes on a life of its own. Each of these different types of contributions or activities build on each other. So when we can have that kind of conversation with the right executive and tell them, you know, we have customers that are getting 90% of their employees logging in on a monthly basis to use the system, interact with peers, you know, that kind of adoption and the ROI that comes from that and just the better awareness of what the company is trying to achieve really lends itself well to that executive kind of conversation.
Perfect. Well, let's we're flying through some time. Let me do a quick reset, everybody. You're listening to Drive Through HR. Ryan, William, and Nisha. We're on with Carrie Schuler. And, okay, so you guys are top 25 hottest innovative company. So once you kind of get acknowledged, when you get that recognition, how does that change things for you and your organization?
Oh, great question. So really where we came from and the hallmark of our company was we started as a consulting company. We really started in the IT consulting, HR service delivery world to try to understand what was really the practical problems that our customers were having. And I find that that's been a lot of our success is being able to bring that consulting roots or legacy to what we do. And then once, we get the word out about that and we're able to, deploy CFactor in a very, consultative, configurable way, we really have some fun conversations with our customers being able to go in there and, personalize their deployment and their role at a CFactor to really embody what they're trying to do. And that's what, I get a lot of fun and kicks from is doing that, is seeing our solutions and how creatively our customers are deploying those. And I just see with, getting the better recognition, that just, opens the opportunity for us to do a lot more of that with a broader base of customers.
Nice. Carrie, let's pivot over to analytics and metrics for a moment. From your perspective, what should HR be paying attention to when we talk about analytics?
Yeah, so the way we look at analytics, it's more than, the traditional, kind of basic information you got out of HR systems. It's really about proactively finding talent that's already resident in your organization that, frankly, you probably didn't have an easy way to get to. And usually it didn't combine, the more personal side of who people are, what drives them, what they're interested in. Oftentimes it surprised me. I'd be in meetings sitting with these large companies and the people across the table from me wouldn't have even met each other. They didn't even know anything really about each other because they come from these large organizations. And to me, if you can put ways and systems and technology in place that helps facilitate better connections and understanding your talent and what they're interested in and connecting those people to collaborate on projects or product-related or service-related initiatives, I think that's the kind of stuff that analytics with social and unstructured data and all that good stuff combined with the more traditional information, you can really start to leverage your talent and your workforce. And the other kind of piece of that is access. Is we still hear often, which surprises me in today's day and age, how few companies have pushed out meaningful metrics and analytics to the managers, local HR, people out in the field to leverage at the point in time they're trying to make decisions. So it really goes to those kind of two points, William, is making the data, the right kind of data, accessible out there in the field, and also then combining real comprehensive views of HR data and talent data to make it meaningful.
What if one doesn't have great data? So what if we're sitting on the garbage in, garbage out discussion around data, and one doesn't feel comfortable with the data that they have?
Yeah, so great point. So what perspective I'd give to that is, by putting this information out there and the ability to track and mine data that's being updated real-time in the system from the actual interactions of your employees, you get to actual, you know, to see the real pulse of what's going on. So it's not about some information that was added into a system a year ago. This is really vibrant, up-to-date, real-time kind of interactions and, subject matter that people are commenting on, and being able to publish that back into the system to be able to mine it and use it for a whole range of activities, whether it be, as I mentioned, internal recruitment. It could be things like succession planning, all that good stuff. By fostering a system that's actually highly used by your employees day in, day out, you start to be able to get visibility into, you know, really up-to-date, you know, social interaction kind of data, as well as, you know, data that goes into the more traditional service delivery kinds of things of HR, that HR does.
Nice. The relationship, in your mind, between the world of manufacturing, where we talk a lot about quality, we talk about lean, we manage via dashboards. It's something in the manufacturing world, the red, yellow, green, and where our opportunities are, et cetera. Do you think that HR can learn a lot from the world of manufacturing and kind of how to manage?
Well, absolutely, and that's actually one of the metaphors we use in our kind of day-to-day dialogue with different folks, is this whole just-in-time concept that was pioneered, obviously, in the manufacturing sector. But from an HR service delivery perspective, making it so these systems are really easy to use, so it's not this, you know, you got to train everybody in advance before they can do a process. It's making them really easy to use, but then actually tying people, experts, analytics, data, information, documents, content, all the things that are relevant to a particular process, making those available just in time, we like to say, on the particular activity. So I'll give you an example. I'm in here doing a transfer process, and I log into the system, I click on transfer, and there's an ask an expert button there, and I can click that and ask a question real time in the system of my HR shared service group, and they can answer it on the spot and help me process that particular activity. Or better yet, there's a social knowledge community tied to that process, and I can go in there, browse it, find the particular answer myself to a question, or if I can't find it, then I ask a question of my HR shared service group via the live chat feature. So those are just a couple examples to try to, you know, give you a feel for how HR can apply these types of leading technologies just in time to a particular activity, initiative, project in a system like this.
What's been the biggest barrier to get the message out, if you will, because you operate your business in a different way? You know, a lot of software vendors, they kind of pit themselves against others. You're more of a collaborator. You're willing to work with whatever systems that they have that are there that are working, which is different, decidedly different, I would tell you. You're in Canada, which is different, a lot of innovation coming out of Canada. What's been kind of the hardest part about getting the message out to a much larger worldwide audience, but even here, a Native American or a North American audience?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. Obviously, there's some great well-financed competitors in our space, so we got to get above kind of the noise, so to speak, of how they're approaching the market. And we're really trying to get people to look at this, and thank you for acknowledging that, look at kind of this world through a different lens and a different approach, that it's not about necessarily, you know, taking a particular best of breed package as is, and that's kind of, you got to mold your business after that particular software. It's really about going in and understanding at a fundamental level, you know, who are the people, what are the connections, what are the processes, what are the initiatives, what are the kinds of things you're trying to do to interact with, engage, drive productivity with your workforce. And that's a pretty big get. That's you need the right people to understand how a system like this can really change the dynamic of how you interact with your workforce. So I think that's been part of, is getting enough of those success stories, those case studies of our customers, to explain how when you do put a system like this in place that impacts everybody in your company, the kind of results you can get are really fantastic, from, you know, the ROI, the usage, the number of people that are consuming content and interacting with each other in the system. It's really fun to kind of sit back and look how these big companies are leveraging technology to do that.
Nice. One more question from the Twitter sphere around metrics, HR metrics, and just your experience and your wisdom around what if you could measure things, obviously, and because you're connecting systems and processes together, you have a really interesting vantage point. What do you see that people are really interested to measure these days?
Yeah, it's a combination of things, and I always get this question of, what are the most important things or the metrics that you measure in your deployments? And the ironic thing is that it depends a bit from the perspective of what was the initial initiative that was driving C-Factor coming in, because kind of as we chat about earlier, we really take this kind of modular, knit things together approach that in some regards it would be the metrics that a company's most interested in is how many of their employees are interacting with the system, how many connections have been made, how many colleague thanks have been giving in the system so that you can actually track unique skills and who's being endorsed by their peers for different types of things in the system. And all that activity is tracked and available as part of more traditional performance management types of processes or even things like succession planning and earmarking your top flyers for different opportunities. It's using those kind of metrics to drive that. If we're coming in more from an efficiency, productivity, process perspective, it's things around automating the end-to-end process and then measuring, the complete how many transactions or processes are completed in the system, and benchmarking that against baselines when they had partial automation in place or maybe even paper instances in certain aspects of the processes. So it's really about those kinds of different types of things we look at based on what our customer's trying to achieve, whether it's efficiency or whether it's engagement and collaboration in the system.
Well, Kerry, switch gears here. We've got about 3 minutes left. Where do you tend to draw inspiration from? Reading, listening to things, obviously playing, watching all the hockey, of course.
Yeah, it's talking with. I've really had a lot of fun. We've really it kind of goes to some of the questions we've gone through today is really getting out there and talking with the innovators and the pioneers in our world, in the HR technology world, HR service delivery world. That's where I get a lot of fun chatting with people that are influential in the social world or the analysts or the media and really from our customers as well. And I think a lot of the vision of C-Factor came very directly from interacting with, large leading-edge companies that were willing to, work with us to, do some really innovative things. And when you find those kind of alignment with your customers, it's a lot of fun to see, you're creating this from, the C-Factor, this product, this deployment, you're personalizing, creating these interesting deployments of that in some really nice companies, and you can see the results of that is really gratifying.
Well, great to share that. Where can folks connect up with your crew this year? Where are you going to be at conference-wise? Where can people connect with you? And that's about all we got time for.
Oh, okay. One of the events that we're speaking at actually with one of those innovative customers of ours is at IRM Strategies. That's coming up in June. We're going with DeVry Inc., who we've done a lot of work with over the years, and my friend over there, Deb Marr, and I are going to be speaking about HR fireworks, so that should be fun. We're also going to HR Tech, and we're driving a lot of webinars, webcasts, and different events with partners and friends of ours throughout the year. So best is just to go to cfactorworks.com, and you'll be able to track our different upcoming events and view some of our previous activities that we've done.
Well, perfect. Kerry, great talk today, and I am excited to hopefully catch up with you sometime later in the year or, maybe swing up to Canada. You never know. So, everybody, have a great day. We're going to tackle this week like never before. So, everybody, we're out. Kerry, we'll have you on again. Great conversation. Bye.